Thank the Lord this evening. I'm grateful for those promises that the Lord said that He, if two or three was gathered together, He said, I'll be there in your midst. Well, we've got quite a few more than that here tonight. I want to thank each one for your effort to come out. Some have come many miles. And thank you for coming. And while we enjoy communicating with each other, it's wonderful. I'm glad we have such fellowship that we have, being able to kind of relax around each other. I'm so thankful that the Lord has created that and we can enjoy it. But beyond that, really, folks, we're here. We want to meet God. And I believe every one of us, even though some of us have served the Lord for a number of years, it's our passion, our great desire to hear His voice and follow Him. And we're always looking for, what next, Lord? What would you, it's in the Scripture says, try me, Lord. See where I stand. And that's my heart tonight. I want the Lord to be able to, I know He can. I want to listen to His voice. I want to open up my heart to Him and say, Lord, look down in my heart tonight. You know, I look at this structure and I thought of, to me, I didn't know it was happening until just a few weeks ago. And I was so pleased to hear that they were able to have this structure going. And about a couple weeks ago when I heard that they had the concrete, I thought, my, they're going to have to really get with it. And I know this congregation has put forth a lot of effort. And I just want to tell you, I'm thankful. Thank you. And I also know that meetings are not easy, stressful on the body. You wear out. And I know that three or four days ago, when we were anticipating coming here, I talked to my wife and I said, you know, that congregation has had a lot of work and they're entering into this meeting wore out. They already had, and I know you're glad for the help that's come in and you gladly bedded them down and you gladly served them and gave them food. I know that, but I also know you're tired. And I just pray the blessings of the Lord on you. As we do for all of us as we're gathered here, we're really looking toward God tonight. We want to serve the Lord. I know as you're tired and worn, we ask that the Lord richly blesses your soul during this meeting. And at the end of it, you'll look back and say it was worth it all. I also know that us humans have a propensity that when we get together, very few of us are devoid of opinions. Most of us have our own thoughts. And when we get together, sometimes my thoughts don't exactly blend with what your idea is. And when we work on a project, there's a lot of opportunity for us to maybe have a little differences. Especially if somebody is leading the job and he says, would you go do that? And this is how I want it done. And and we have this opportunity of feeling a little offended. Now that can happen on a project or that can happen in your home and your wife, your marriage, your spouse. I can tell you that the devil would love to stir up trouble. We just know that. Also know that in congregations, it's real easy. You can just have two or three. Now the Lord said He'll be there, but I can also guarantee you that the devil will show up. Because he doesn't like unity. And how wonderful it is for brethren to be able to dwell together in unity. But I can tell you the devil will challenge that in every way possible. And I want to encourage us this evening as we follow after the Lord, as we do all we can to do what's right and follow after righteousness, I want to encourage you to not let the devil bring offenses or us to cause offenses. Help and not let the devil put offenses in our pockets to carry away. Now, that's a choice. There's choices that you and I can make. Now, it is the mind of Christians. It is the attitude. It is what we have in our heart. Godly men and women. It is our desire not to cause offenses. Is that not so? I think if I saw somebody going around here trying to hurt feelings, trying to cause offenses, I would worry about where you stand spiritually. And I think if you saw me doing it, you'd have a legitimate worry about where I stood spiritually. Also, did you know we can come up with this attitude of looking for offense? That's a decision that we can make. We can get so sensitive about ourselves or my ideas or my opinions that I can take offense so easily. And I want to tell you tonight that God wants to help us with this areas of our life. We don't need to be offended at every little thing. Now, I'm not accusing anyone here tonight. I'm just telling you, I know how the devil works. He's interested in trying to stir up trouble. And God wants us tonight to discern and recognize the devil's devices, recognize it, not let him get by with it, and be willing to do battle in some of these areas. Don't let the devil get advantage of us. So, as we look toward this evening, I would like to... we're going to be over in Philippians. Philippians 3 and 14. We have a scripture here. It says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to talk about this in this context. You know, we can easily allow the devil to come in and start stirring up feelings within us. It's easy for us. It seems like it's almost first nature. If we allow carnality in our flesh to rise up, that's our first nature. I'm looking for something. I'm a little sensitive here. And be careful what you say. And I want to tell you, God has a higher calling than that for you and I. He calls us to higher plane. He has greater victory for us than to get under this where the devil will get in there and start stirring things up. Not only in my own heart, but between us. God has a higher... there's something there that's greater. Brethren, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Don't you think the Lord has the ability to give us victory? Well, He does. And that's more than a fantasy in our minds. We serve a risen Savior. And let me tell you what He wants to do. As He's alive and dynamic in the hearts of all who want to serve Him, He will come by. He will walk by and through our lives. And as we begin to feel some of these oppressions, some of these things the devil would like to bring upon us, He will point it out in our heart, point it out in our life, because He loves His children. He's interested in us not being chained down by these things that causes us damage or causing weights around us. He wants us to go free. He wants us to enjoy the freedom that there is in Christ. It's more than just words that we say. There is something that really happens truly, dynamically in the hearts of His children. He comes by and visits with you and I. Have you not heard that? Have you not felt that? I believe all of us, as we walked with the Lord, we felt the checks of His Spirit. We've seen, when we read the Bible, there's times that word just comes alive and I recognize He's speaking to me. Thank God for that. So very grateful. There is a God who cares about the attitudes that I have. I want to tell you that the Lord allows us to make our decision. He won't override that, though He will chide us, though He will remind us child that's going to hurt you, and he'll do everything he can to get our attention lovingly to try to turn us from our intent. But I will tell you tonight that you are who you choose to be. We are the sum total of all the attitudes that I've tolerated, decisions that I've made, the things that I'm willing to identify with. I want to tell you tonight that if we identify with hurts, with offenses, that is a weight that will hang around your neck and it will do damage to us in life. If we are willing to have attitudes that are ungodly, carnal desires, and if you tolerate that and begin to identify with that, it will become who you are. And God does not want that for anybody. That's why He came to save people. To change people. To fundamentally change us inside. And it's real, folks. I can tell you that. There have been experiences that I've had in my own life where I carelessly, I became less, less astute, less observant, less caring sometimes about what I was going through. And I would get these attitudes would press on, and I would begin to identify that. Let me give you some example. Have you ever had trouble with anger? Or had anger come and try to rise up with it? What do you do with that? You give over to it? Well, sometimes it happens. Sometimes people do get. Let me tell you, the more you give over to that, you know what you're going to be identified as? You're going to be identified as an angry man or an angry woman. That becomes your identity. And that's not what God wants. And so the Lord comes by and He deals with us. And as we recognize His dealing, what is our job to do? To turn from it, isn't it? To turn from it. I choose. God gives us choices. And I'll encourage you tonight. Oh, I saw the young folks up here singing us a wonderful song. And when I see the young folks and these children growing up, my heart just goes out to you. I want you to become successful in your Christian walk. I want you to fall in love with the same God that I know. I want to tell you what's going to happen. He's going to go to work in your heart. You're not the same person years down the road as what you are tonight. God works on us. God changes us. God perfects that concerns us. It's His great desire to take the raw material that we, I challenge us to willingly, hungrily, with great desire, take who we are and place it on the altar. And say, God, I relinquish control of this. I want You to be the king of my life. I don't want to be the king anymore. I've made a mess out of it. I have given over to some of these wrong attitudes. And I want to be free from that. I want to tell you, the Lord will go to working. Remember about the tree that He said that was out there and it wasn't producing anything? And He said, come by. Jesus gave this parable. He said, the master came by and he said, there's not any fruit on it. Cut it down. And the gardener said, the caretaker said, give me some time. And I want to tell you, this is what Jesus does when He looks at you and I. And I'm not saying that's necessarily the explanation of that parable, but this is something that Jesus does. He looks at you and I in our condition, and He sees the flaws that we have. And when the time is right, He will put His finger on those places in our life to begin to change those things down inside us. And it's our job to put it on the altar, keep it on the altar, not allow the fowls to gather in our heart, but to purposefully every day say, Lord Jesus, I want to be Your child. I'm headed for heaven today. I want to make heaven. And I'm desperate this evening. And so are you. My grandfather, he used to say often, he said, we're all judgment-bound travelers. And there is a solemn truth in that statement. We're judgment-bound travelers. Each one of us have choices that we must make. When we are confronted with situations in our life, it's incumbent upon us to decide how we are going to respond to that. And we have a choice there to respond in my carnal feelings. Or let attitudes grow in me of hurt and distrust and all these things the devil would like to build. And we can choose to do that, or we can choose to turn away and say, Lord, I feel hurt. I'm feeling that right now. Give me grace. Help me, Lord, to act godly today. Help me, Lord, to love this individual. Many times there's faces, other people associated with this, and the devil will bring that up so strongly before our mind, and abuse that to try to overcome us. Let me give you a little example. This was a long time ago. I'm not saying I haven't had other battles, but I'm going to give you this one that was very strong for me. It was a situation where somebody had, I felt intentionally, done something, and there's only one way it seemed like I could interpret it. I thought they intentionally did something hurtful to me. And to this day, I'm not so sure, but what I'm not correct in that assessment. But that really doesn't matter. I have my own soul. I'm a judgment-bound traveler, you see. I'm desperate. Well, let me tell you one of the first things that it seems to feel right to give over to my feelings. I nurse it a little. I take that and stick it in my pocket, and I turn around and I didn't say anything. And I walked away. Felt like I got some victory. But as I walked away, this rancor began to happen in my mind. And it began to build up and build up, and I finally convinced myself that I did well to be angry. And then it was my habit. At night before going to bed, I would read. And before I went to bed, I would get down on my knees. And I talked to the Lord. And I encourage everyone to do that. Let me tell you what happened that night when I'd carried this to the end of the day. And got ready to get down on my beside my bed and pray to the Lord. And when I began to pray, it seemed like the prayer really wasn't going anywhere. It seemed like it was very empty prayer. And finally, I kind of backed up and thought that prayer's not working. I'm going to come at another angle. And I was trying to tell, then I began to tell the Lord, Lord, I have a right to feel this way. And it just didn't make sense. The more I tried to argue my point before the throne of glory, my God loved me enough that He said, it's not right, son. Finally, I humbled and said, you're right, Lord. And He reminded me that they spit on Him, that they plucked out His beard, that they smote Him, that they, without good reason, smote His back and nailed Him to a cross. And His response was, Father, forgive. I want to tell you, He calls us to be saints. That's a calling greater than we many times can even comprehend. But God knows how to take us in our humanity and call us to a higher plane and give us victories. I want to tell you, there's times we need to employ the tool of great humility. Come down before the cross. Be honest with the Lord. Not allow flesh to get an advantage of us. The Lord wants to bless us during this meeting. And He doesn't bring messages like this to accuse, but to reveal. To help. That we might be free, that we might be, again, free from the things that would bind us and cause us not to be happy in our relationship with the Lord or with each other. The devil would like to try to just build that up till there's destruction. Brethren, I press toward the mark. for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. God wants us to do battle. Well, I've got some things here. I've got some little notes. I don't very often use my phone, but I've got it here this evening, so bear with me as I try to read some of the notes that I have here. Again, I'll just tell you, we carry with us the character and attitudes which we choose to cultivate. That's will become our identity. And I listen to that a little bit. We carry with us the attitudes, the character, who we are. It's the attitudes which we choose to cultivate. So I say, choose well what you're willing to cultivate. Be careful. By the grace of God, we can be changed. Listen to that for a little bit. Now that's just that is an immutable truth. And I can tell you from experience that's an immutable truth. Because if people can't be changed, I would be a miserable man. But I can tell you what happened to me at Monarch Springs, Missouri campground in 1979. 78 or 79 right now. I think it's 79, wasn't it? Thanks, I think. There at the altar, when I gave my heart to the Lord, there was a great change happen in me. And there was some real bitterness that I had in my heart. There was some great anger, some great just turmoil down inside me. But that night when I came to that altar prayer and gave it all to the Lord, there was a great change in me. And I can tell you of a surety that when the Scripture said, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And God wants us to walk in that newness of life. He wants us to go forward in the newness, not returning again to the pig pen. I left that and I'm so glad for the change that happens. God can change people here tonight. I want to encourage you tonight, whatever it is that mankind deals with, or whatever state you find yourself in tonight, whatever problems that we have in our God wants us to bring those things to Him in earnest and honest prayer and say, Lord, help me. He changes people. He changes situations. He cleans hearts. Tonight, I know my message isn't necessarily toward sinners. It's toward all of us. But if you're a sinner here tonight and you don't know the Lord, I want to tell you God loves you. And He's so very, very interested in taking you and changing you, to giving you a new perspective. He wants to help you understand that there is a path of righteousness that leaves behind peace. There is things He wants to develop in your heart and in your life that you will know the hand of God is working with you. And you will feel so calm and so wonderful, and there will be a maturity. There will be things develop in your life that you look back later on. And if you continue to walk with the Lord, you look back and say, oh, He's led me. There's a song that says, I can see far down the mountain where I wandered many years, often hindered in my journey by the ghosts of doubts and fears. But the Spirit has led unerring to the land I hold today. I shorten something. But I want you to know that the Lord is still leading. The Lord is still interested in taking you and I from the past and bringing us to a bright future, to a bright hope, where salvation is true and you know it's so. It's real down in our hearts. Brother Marty said that salvation makes you part of the church, and that is so true. It's not a name that we put on a sign or a name over a door. That's just identifying this is where the church meets. But the church is for God. It's enthroned in the hearts of mankind. We are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and God is the King, not us. And He is the one that takes all His dear children and dandles them on His knees, and leads His dear children along, some through the waters and some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Thank the Lord. Well,
I want to go on here a little bit. When I tell people, and I've done this before, I've told some people out there that seemed like life was so difficult for them, and forgiveness was almost beyond their comprehension. They were unwilling to embrace forgiveness in their own heart, forgiving someone else. Sometimes that's very difficult for us to do, isn't it? Forgiving. The Scripture says forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you. That's what God calls us to. But it's very difficult sometimes for people to receive that. And this individual was standing up and they felt like it was too hard. That's too much. It's too hard. I want to give you a quote from, and I don't know this man. All I can tell you, I believe this quote is extremely true. Gilbert K. Chesterton is the one that I'm going to quote. He said this: "The Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. The Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried." I want to tell you, it works when it's tried. That is our choice. We can embrace it. You can forgive. The Lord has grace for you and I. There's a scripture: He giveth more grace. He resists the proud, but He giveth more grace to the humble. That means when we come with our need, "Oh Lord, I'm in trouble. I've got this before me. I don't know how to handle it. It's really bothering me in life. And I'm tired of this weight that's hanging around my shoulder. Bring it to the Lord." And say, "Lord, I need help." I want to tell you, He gives more grace to those who humble themselves down. There is help. God changes us. Brother Michael said a while ago, sometimes faith, when we look toward the Lord, doesn't always mean that He changes the situation, but He'll do some changing in us. He'll make a big change in us. All right, I want to go to 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter. And we want to look here at the 13th verse. Now, I want to encourage you tonight that when we start out for the Lord, don't start out, there seems to be a predominant feeling almost that the devil works in our society that there are a lot of people that meet up here with great joy at an altar and they say some vows to one another. We call it marriage, don't we? And they say, almost all of them say, "Until death do us part." Statistically says at least 50% of them, and it's higher today, at least 50% of them have been proven liars. Because that "till death do us part" didn't last very long. There's an attitude of not standing to your word. Not willing to buckle down and deal with situations in our life. Now, the Lord wants you and I, when we come to Him, to make some vows to Him and say, "I intend to serve you. I'm going through." When I got saved, came off that altar, there's a song came ringing through my heart and through my mind. And it was 223 in our book, and it starts out like this: "I mean to go right on until the crown is won. I mean to fight the fight of faith till life on earth is done. I'll never more turn back." You see, I turned back many times in my life. This was the last time. I told it to the Lord. I said, "Lord, if You'll take what I have, the burnt out ashes that I give You." And I know that it seemed like there was a pile of worthless nothing that I gave to the Lord. But He said, "Son, if You'll do that, I'll take it from here." And I said, "Lord, if You'll just give me, if You'll save me, I'll give You the rest of my life." And I meant it. And He came and He changed me down inside. Set me on a path of... Oh, it was so sweet that night. I believe to this day that if there's somehow I could have made what I got that night into a physical form and had it in a bowl and started giving people taste of what I had,
I could convert a lot of people. I told somebody that night, I said, if I could do that, I believe I could convert the world. So I say to you, taste and see that the Lord is good. Be willing to launch out without any reserve and say, Lord, I'm going with you. I want to serve you, Lord. Mean it with all your heart. This verse here in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, says, watch ye, stand fast. I want you to notice these segments of this. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Now this manly thing, it says, quit you like men. Let me tell you what real men do. Real men don't abandon their family. Real men meet responsibility. Grown-ups aren't cavalier about life. Now, you can say, well, I know somebody that's 50 years old and you can't get them to take on any responsibility. I'm going to tell you, you're still not grown up. Because the old term we talk about, they grew up. Growing up had a meaning back then that meant, when somebody's growing up, they began to start thinking maturely. They started taking responsibility and not turning back. There's a scripture in the Bible that Jesus said, talking about a man that puts his hand to a plow. But he said, the one that puts his hand to the plow and begins to have doubts about where he's going, he starts heading looking the other way. He said he's not fit for the kingdom of heaven. That's still true today. If you're interested in going to heaven, we're going to have to not look back anymore. Amen. Grow up. Face responsibility. Amen. Did you know the Lord's able to help us do that? Yes. Let me ask you tonight. Put yourself for just a moment in David's shoes when he went to visit his brothers out when the army was all in doubt and fearful, and there was one man standing out there before him. He said, give me somebody to come over and fight me. You remember the giant? You remember David and the giant? You all know that story. Put yourself in his shoes tonight. How, you feel pretty confident tonight? You willing to go face the giant? Well, David was. You know why? It wasn't in his own ignorance that he faced him. It wasn't just youthful ignorance and exuberance. That's not what he had. He had something more than that. You see, he had been out tending some sheep. He had been dealing with life. He had been facing his enemies. There was a bear had come before. Here was these sheep that he loved. He'd given his heart and life trying to help these sheep, trying to raise them. And here comes a bear out of the woods and snatches one. Something rose up within David. He said, you can't take my lamb. And he chased him. And the Lord delivered the bear, delivered the lamb back into David's hand. A lion also did the same thing. So David had a track record of facing and not turning back. He put his hand to the plow, and the plow sometimes is difficult to follow. The Christian ideal, when tried, when we grab a hold and we decide I will go through whether it's difficult or not, I want to tell you there's some victory ahead of for you and I. There's something God has for you and I. He wants to develop some stability, some spiritual maturity, even physical maturity, emotional maturity. He wants to develop that in our young folks and even some of us as we grow older. He wants to develop that in us. He wants to change us. Develop righteousness in our hearts, in our lives. Some good examples for others to follow. You know, this community, your congregation that lives here, you know, God wants the community to see something very real in your life. He wants them to see God on display. The Christian walk, He wants them to see young people. It's so important. He wants them to see young people getting a hold of God. You have a place that some of us older ones really can't feel. You know, some of the, it's pretty common for young folks not to, they're pretty flighty, not stable. They kind of go after their own things. But when they see a godly young person settling down in the things of the Lord, becoming mature, that means something to them. That's a testimony that some of those older ones aren't able to do. Our lives, our consistency of life, that means something too. But when they see a young person, that really says something to them. I want to challenge you tonight. Give your heart wholly, completely to the Lord. Don't let things build up within your heart. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Act like a man. Deal with life in a manly way. Mature. I'm not saying, now, this is something that, this isn't just to the men here tonight. This is to all of us, the women too. Quit you like men. When we face the battles in our life, God wants us to face it in the strength and grace that He has to give us. Unwilling to turn back. David was willing to lay his bones out there. He said, is there not a cause? He was willing to risk it all. I'm just a young man. Oh, young man, don't pour your alabaster box out on the Lord. It's too valuable. Go spend a little first and then you can give what's left over to the Lord. That's not what really works. Give ourselves wholly, completely to the Lord. David did that. He was willing to pour it all out right there. And the Lord brings victory then. Quit you like men. Be strong. Face your giants. Face the foe. Don't allow the devil to give us an attitude. Oh, it's so prevalent out there today that we almost, the devil would like for us to make excuses for my failings to the point that we come to the belief that we can never rise above it. That's not what the Scripture teaches. We have our flesh to deal with, yes. We never deny that. But you know, God has grace. God has help. God's interested in causing you and I to rise above the failings of the human flesh. We don't have to be a slave to that anymore. Look over in James. What was it, the fourth chapter? Where he said, resist the devil. Let's look at it. Quit ye like men now. Here's some of what we can do while we are acting with these manly virtues. All right. Fourth chapter. Start with the fifth verse here. Do we? Do you think that Scripture says, Brother James here is telling us, do you think, he's pointing to the Scripture, and the Scripture points out different places and it talks about the flesh and how damaging it is. You look over in the Old Testament and see what happened, the propensity of the carnal mind. Where did it lead Adam and Eve when they let the carnal mind begin to lead? Where did it lead those who followed behind Adam and Eve? In just a few short years, you see the problems that happened. One, the Scripture says, the thoughts and imaginations of their heart was only evil continually. That was a condition. This is what the devil would like to lead all of us into, this place of total defeat. So, Brother James says, that doesn't the Scripture point out that? But the Spirit that dwells in us, it lusteth, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He says, God resists the proud, but He gives grace unto the humble. Thank the Lord for that truth. Then He says, submit yourselves therefore to God. A job for us to do. I have never seen somebody fail in their walk with the Lord when they were submitting to God. Do it. Sometimes it's not easy. But bring even in the hard places and say, Lord, help me. I want to submit to You. I want You to have full reign in my heart. Lord, I need the peace of God in my soul. Resist. Submit yourselves to God. Then it says, resist the devil. Do you think James said that just to say words?
Or did he say that, I want to tell you to resist the devil, but I know you can't. I know you're going to fail more or less every day. Is that what he was saying here? It's not what he said. The Scripture teaches a greater victory for you and I than to have a defeatist attitude. The devil would like to get us in our mind this attitude that I have already lost the battle before I start. That's not what the Scripture... Brother James says, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Do you think James was just making this up on the fly? No, Brother James had some experiences resisting the devil. He knew what the result of this was. When I come and submit myself to the Lord and resist the devil, there is some great grace, there's some great help that comes our way. And we don't have to be defeated. I want to tell you tonight, young folks and every one of us, that God wants to help you gain great victories in your life. And He loves you tonight. He's not hard or aloof. He's very close to us. He's right there within reach for all of us. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. Get up there real close. Cuddle up real up close next to Him. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about some of our, probably, at least I'll tell you from mine. You know, generally I would like to have things really come easy. You ever heard of easy money? You know why get-rich-quick schemes seem to, they just seem to go like wildfire at times? You know why? Everybody wants to get rich quick. They want it easy. If I can just do a few little things, a couple years of my life, really work this system good, I'm going to come out with a pocket full of dough and I'm going to retire. One time I was thinking about something like that myself and thought I was going to take some money and invest in this place. And when I'm done, it looked good. This is going to be... And the devil even told me, he said, you know, when you really get this thing going good, you'll be able to support a bunch of ministers like this. You know what he was lying then to? You see, the devil knows that we would love to have it easy. Let me tell you about this plow we're hanging on to. There's going to be times it's going to dig its toe in some rocks. And we'll have to hang on and intend to go through. It's just the truth. Woe to them who are at ease in Zion. I know that scripture. You read it, but I want to take that part out of that. There's a woe to those who want everything easy. You're liable to fail. If you want to have everything to go just easy for you all your life long, I want to tell you what, the way of the cross is not like that. The way of the cross employs the cross. And that means there are going to be times I'm going to have to take my old flesh and approach the problems of life and say, Lord, I'm dealing with some hard places right here. Help me to use the cross. And it's not easy. But beyond the cross, there's victory. I want you to know that. Oh, the cross has wondrous glories. Oft I've proved this to be true. When I'm in a way so narrow, I can see a pathway through. And how sweetly Jesus whispers, take the cross. Thou needst not fear. Because I've tried the way before you and the glory lingers near. And he beckons to you and I tonight to not look for the easy way and says, come. You see, Jesus said there's one way that's very broad and real easy to get into. It's popular. A lot of people go that way, but he said there's another way that is the right way. And it's very narrow and it's hard and it's difficult. But if you go that way, it's a way of peace. It's a way the flesh is going to have a hard time on. But the soul is going to be liberated the farther you go. The sweeter... Again, I like songs. Sweeter gets a journey every day. Serving Jesus really pays. And that's true. So I want to encourage us as we follow after these things of the Lord, God would like to help us to... He doesn't want us to fall prey to an attitude of being defeated or ease. Yes, I'm like probably everyone else in here that I would like for it to be easy, but it's not. Life's not that way. And if you don't like that, maybe, I don't know, I suppose we could talk to Adam and Eve someday and ask them why it's so hard. But because sin came in here for one thing. We have a foe. This is a battle. The battleground, the devil wants to get in our mind and start causing wrong things going on in there. Again, attitudes, things that just aren't not right. The devil wants to build that up, you see. And for you and I, God wants us to resist the devil. That's an action, an intentional action that I set my face like a flint and say, I'm not going to go back. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to let the Lord. And no, it's not with all my strength that I get the victory. But God wants us to give Him our all. And He supplies the lack. He gives more grace. That's what Brother James said. All right. Let's go on here a little bit. In a battle which we are in, a spiritual battle, we have a foe that would like to cause us to lose our soul. We have a devil that would like to keep us from gaining heaven. But in battles, I was talking to somebody just before service, they had a number of their family members that passed away in the wars. World War I, she said she'd lost her daddy in World War I. World War II, lost a number of her brothers, kinfolk. It's a terrible thing. Causes a lot of scars. But in battle, I've noticed that the devil would love to... Our foe and the devil, he would love to whisper things in our ears. You know what propaganda... You heard of propaganda. You know what that... The purpose of propaganda is to decrease, if not eliminate, our will to fight. You know, a man out there on the battlefield, he's... Things are rough anyway, and then to tell him that the folks back home don't care about him anymore. And try to make him lonely, he's already lonely. And try to make it all, that's what they did. They tried to make everything as hard as what they could. And then try to tell him that your government really doesn't care. I know, we can get all kinds of argument about government, but I want to tell you what, the devil will try to use spiritual propaganda on you and I and try to get us to lose the will to fight. I want to tell you, never give up. Never, ever, ever give up. Amen. Look him in the eye and say, whether what you say is right or not is immaterial to me. I'll lay my bones there. I'm going through. You're not going to stop me because I want to serve God. And what happens between here and there is going to be up to God, but my life is in God's hand. I want to serve Him. These things that I am struggling with, these things that come against me, I'm not going to allow that to define my life. I'm looking toward Jesus. Oh, there's another scripture. Looking unto Jesus. The one who started our pathway. The author and the finisher of our faith. He's able to cause you and I to stand. He's able to present us faultless. Isn't that Titus? Is that where that? Who is able to present us faultless before the throne? He's able to do that. These aren't words I'm just making up to tell you. These are things that other brethren in the Scripture wrote down, and the Lord put a seal of approval on it. It's so. God is able to take you and I and make us victorious. The devil is delighted to hear people say they are sinners and will always remain so. These are not words. Oh, my phone messed up again. trying to read you what I wrote there. These are not words or attitudes of a victor. These are words of someone expecting to fail and reconciling to defeat. A double-minded man. He's what? You mean he's not going to go through? In all his ways. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. James, again, I believe, is the one saying that. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. David had some mighty men. The Scripture talks about them. Some of them were, they were all, I compare myself to them, and I'm just a little baby compared to some of their great things. But one of them was a, he had a name. He was really up there, even with the mighty men. He was ahead of most of them. And it talked about him going down in a pit on a very snowy day and meeting two men hunkered down there in the cave. I don't know this pit. I don't know what it's like, but he had to go down in this area, and these men probably had their back against the wall, and they were used to fighting. He said they were lion-like men of Moab. And this man, I don't know what the reason was for him to decide to risk his life so, but perhaps these lion-like men of Moab had caused fear in many other people. Perhaps they had gotten many victories. Perhaps they had taken many a head off. And this man said, I'm tired of it. Oh, did you know the Lord wants you and I to have some inspiration in our hearts sometimes? Something rise up within us and say, I'm tired of letting this thing have this much control. I want some victory. And this mighty man of God, he began to come over there. He looked at the foe down there and he started going down the sides of that snowy pit. And I don't think he went down there carelessly or whistling a tune. I think he went down there with steel in his eyes and said, this is it. I'm going to get some victory. Not going to go on any longer. And the story goes that he went on down there and got the victory. But I want to transpose that over spiritually. There's some places that the Lord wants us to be willing to go down where the devil is. Where the foe, let me say it differently than that. The Lord wants to give us victory in some very deep places in our hearts. He wants us to confront the devil. Not let him have that. He wants us to put our hand to the plow and say, I'm going. I'm going to face this. Mighty men of God. He gives more victory, more grace. Again, I want to remind us of what James said. You know, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let's go ahead and read. That's in James, the first chapter, isn't it, Brother Carl? Oh, my, the fifth. Yes. I was just looking here at the fifth verse, though, and how wonderful that is. If any man lack wisdom, we all feel like we're caught up on wisdom, don't need any more. I'm sorry if you do, because you do really do. We need help. We need the Lord. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Such a wonderful promise. Brother James points us. He didn't say, come to me, I've got some good counsel for you today. No, I can help you with that. I can tell you exactly. That's not what Brother James said. He said, if you lack wisdom, go to your Father. Go to God. Now there's places, don't get me wrong, there's places for us to give counsel with each other. But ultimately, we need to go to God. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Thank the Lord for that. Now, down there in the seventh verse, talk about a double-minded man. In the seventh verse it says, let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Somebody whose faith is wavering. Somebody who doesn't have things settled. He's double-minded. He's not sure exactly where he's going. You're not going to get any victory that way. For a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree. Maybe you feel like you don't have any strength tonight. I want to tell you,
You feel, I'm just pretty low in this. I don't know if I can get to be all come faith believing to the Lord. Say, Lord, I want some of that victory tonight. I want some grace. I want some help. Let the man of low degree, let him begin to rejoice in the Lord. I know there's more there. I'm not going to read it, but I want to encourage you tonight. The Lord wants to help us in life. The Lord wants to develop stability. He wants to develop spiritual maturity. He has a direction He wants to take you in life. And I'm not going to tell you tonight that you're going to take one trip to the altar and everything is so fixed that you'll never have to deal with the flesh again. That's just not so. There's no magic bullet. There's not an easy way. We need to face the foe. But do it with courage. Because there is great promises in the Scripture. Not with arrogance. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Ask Him for help and direction. And the Lord is able to give abundance of grace. He gives more grace to the humble. He does despise the proud and arrogant. The one who feels like he can handle it all on himself. You're not going to do it. You're going to have to. Young men, I know we have quite a sense of we want to meet challenges. I'm glad the Lord gives that to the young men. Oh, but I want you to go ahead and use that same sense in meeting the spiritual challenges in your life. Oh, the devil wants to begin to break you down, give you weak places. He wants to use everything good that the Lord has given you, all the desires that the Lord has given you. The devil would like to turn that against you. But those are good things that the Lord gave you. I want to encourage you to give that to the Lord tonight. Face the giants. Bring it to the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to have a greater measure of victory in my life. Oh, God wants to take what you give Him and change you and I and cause us to be able to stand upright with great knowledge in our heart that I'm a soldier of the cross. I intend to go through by the grace of God. I know He's interested and willing to help me. And I want to tell you tonight that the Lord wants to take us wherever we are. And I want to encourage you that He wants to take us through. You don't have to be defeated. Don't listen to the propaganda of the devil or the world. Whatever it is that the devil tries to get us hanging our head. No, look Him full in the face and say, Lord, I want to make it. I want to go to heaven. I want to encourage you tonight. You can. But it starts. And the avenue of gaining full victory is really humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. I want to encourage you tonight. Pray for me. I'm going to heaven too.